I grew up in a quiet country town in New Jersey during the 70s. We're going a bit back in history, I know. The main street was a dusty asphalt strip lined on either side by square stone buildings that ended where concrete gave way to maintained gardens of the Central Park. At the center of the park stood a large tree with thick branches reaching high into the sky. As far back as I remember, this tree had never had any leaves on it, no matter the season, so I always assumed it was dead. Surrounding the base of the tree was a short stone wire barrier. It was put in place years beforehand to deter children from climbing the tree. I had my doubts about how well it worked, especially since it was beginning to decay and bulge into cracks as the tree's roots began to expand below it. However, I personally never had the urge to climb the tree at all. In fact, the tree was more of a natural repellent for me. Something about it just deeply unsettled me. Even pedaling past it on my way to the store raised hairs on the back of my neck. I found out years later that my irrational dislike for this tree was perfectly justified. After all, it had a significant body count for a plant. The first death was a young boy before my time, who was said to have challenged his sister to climb to the top of the tree as fast as possible. Although the girl had refused to move past the first branch, her brother made it much farther up the tree before he apparently misstepped and fell to the ground. His neck broke on impact. Later, a group of children had been playing around the tree when one of them tripped and fell to the ground and was impaled as he fell face first into a broken end of a felled branch. I believe the barrier was put in place after that one, but it didn't stop the deaths. A teenage girl on a family picnic outside of the barrier was spontaneously crushed by a second falling branch. I remember that one most of all because it was in most of the papers for weeks. None of these included the people who had hanged themselves from the tree branches throughout the years. Suffice to say, the tree had quite the reputation around town, and it was precisely this reputation that caused dumb kids, namely my friends, to consistently dare one another to go near the tree. I dare you to touch it. I dare you to break a twig off. I dare you to climb it. And so on, every single day after school. No one actually fulfilled these requests, but the insistence was enough to be more than annoying to anyone who had already had a dislike of that mangled overgrowth. As we grew older to become teenagers, the jokes gradually subsided, and honestly, none of us thought that much about the tree anymore. Once we weren't kids, it didn't seem to hold as much power over us, and it definitely went from creepy evil tree to neglected center of the town tree in a hurry. That was until one night, while sitting drunk and high around a small fire in Mr. Peters' cornfield, Mark said, "Hey, you remember that creepy tree?" "Oh yeah, dead baby tree, right?" Thomas answered him. "The one with no leaves?" I also inquired as I took another hit from the bomb. Mark beamed. "That's the one. We should go burn it down. That thing is creepy as shit." And just like that, there we were. Three teenage boys, high as a kite, creeping less than subtly across town and into the park with two cans of gasoline and a lighter. Mark could hardly contain his excitement. We kept having to shh him as he giggled maniacally. I bobbed along, thinking my extended bowl haircut looked cool, and Thomas flicked the lighter like a kleptomaniac every so often. We stumbled over the short hedge and tiptoed across the grass until we reached the tree. However, once we were standing in front of it, I felt instantly sober. The same feeling of dread I always had about this tree took hold of me as I stared up at it. Dark branches twisting into the sky, motionless, silent, and menacing. It was as if it was challenging us in some primal way. Looking around, I can tell that I wasn't the only one who felt it. Mark had stopped giggling and Thomas looked profoundly uncomfortable. Right. Well, let's just get this done, I said meekly, gesturing vaguely for them to start pouring the gasoline or something. Are you sure we should be doing this? Thomas asked. We can get in trouble. Something. He trailed off as Mark interrupted. Fuck. It's a tree. Just a damn tree. It doesn't have any power over us, he said, annoyed and with bravado. Yeah, but, like, isn't it city property or something? Thomas asked. Who cares? Let's just do this. We said we would. We're here. We're probably doing them a favor, so... Mark muttered gruffly, then hopped the barrier and began to aggressively throw gasoline around the base of the tree. For a moment, Thomas and I just watched. For me, it felt like there was no air left. Gravity was crushing down on me with so much intensity that I couldn't move an inch. I felt sweaty. Sweat slowly trickled down from my forehead as I struggled to snap out of it. It was just a tree, and we were the ones with the fire, not it. So why was I so cripplingly scared? Yeah, damn it, no one will ever even know it was us. Surprising myself with conviction in my voice as I stepped up to grab the other can of gasoline and help Mark. Good. Get the other side real good. I want to make sure this bonfire burns, baby. Mark shouted like a lunatic. You got it, I answered, then took a step to the left. By pure chance alone, as I took that step, a massive crash erupted beside me. A large branch had just come crashing down from goodness knows where above and demolished the spot I had been standing not more seconds ago. Splinters of broken bark sprayed up into the air from the impact as I stared dumbfounded. Nice try, you fucker, I yelled with dry lips. I was trembling like a leaf, of course, but I wasn't going to let that damn tree know that. As I took a moment to regain myself, I thought I heard the tree growl in response to my yelling. It was an unmistakable warning. The sound was similar to something you might expect to hear from an old forest where trees creak and groan with age, but very subtle. At this point, Mark and Thomas had come running back from around the tree to see what had happened. Christ, the tree's trying to fucking kill us, Mark muttered, and I noticed he was being supported by Thomas. He had one hand on his forehead, and blood was flowing freely down from it. I was around the other side. I tripped on a root, I think. I hit my head, he informed to my look of horror. Tree branch fell. It missed. I explained my own situation. Let's just go. This is so bad. Thomas began to beg. Just light her up first. That's all that's left to do, Mark insisted, to which Thomas couldn't find any excuse to refuse. Fine. He reluctantly agreed. We helped Mark back over the barrier and stood clear ourselves before Thomas pulled out the lighter. I couldn't help but feel particularly childish at that moment. We were about to burn down a tree that was decades older than we were because we were high and thought freak accidents were it trying to kill us as we were going to kill it. However, the second the first spark hit the gasoline fumes and the flames burst all to life around the tree, we realized our mistake. We became instantly aware of two things. One, we had overdone it with the gasoline and was probably going to burn down the whole park. And two, the tree was moving. Not just moving, it was coming for us. Its branches were thrashing wildly, its roots breaking through the surface of the ground. I felt a vice-like grip wrap around my ankle, and before I knew anything else, I was being ripped off the ground. I was barely able to grab hold of the wire barrier and found myself in a tug of war over my own limbs. From the shouts beside me, I knew Mark and Thomas had also been grabbed. To my horror, I saw beside me Thomas. The root that had him was snarled tightly around his leg, and he was thrashed around like a rag doll in the air for a moment before the thing brought him down to the ground, hard. I heard him scream and groan in pain. The crack that accompanied his impact made it clear that something had broken, but the tree didn't stop there. It whipped him back and forth. It thrashed him against the ground and the barrier repeatedly. Each new impact made a wet crunch and sent a splatter of blood in all directions. I saw the lighter fall from his hands as his body was smashed against the barrier for a fourth time. I can only hope he was dead after the second hit, because the tree didn't let him go at all until Thomas's body began to break apart. If you've never heard flesh and skin gradually tear apart, I pray you never do. As I watched Thomas die, I gradually gained an awareness for a white hot pain in my ankle. It seemed the bottom of my trousers had caught fire, and it was melting the fibers in my pants into my leg, which was, in turn, burning my skin. I shouted in agony, and I could have sworn that I heard the tree do the same thing. For where the fire burned me, it also burned the root that held me. I felt a vicious tug on my leg that pulled my hip from its joint. A dull pop of something I definitely won't ever forget. But I felt no pain. I guess by that point, the adrenaline was blocking all of it. The next thing I was aware of, I was falling over the barrier. I'd been holding onto it so tightly that when my ankle, or whatever, finally came clear off, the force propelled me over it. It was impossibly difficult to move from there. My whole body felt like lead. I tried to stand, but that was anatomically impossible for a reason I didn't fully understand at the time. The sound of Mark's cries called my attention towards him. Looking around in a daze, I tried to locate him. When my eyes finally found him, I wished they hadn't. The light from the fire made everything so very clear to see. Mark was easily 10 feet in the air. Large tree limbs whipped him back and forth. Some of his limbs had been stripped of flesh where the tree had tried to pull him apart. And now, it was slowly crushing him to death. I could see pieces of him start to bulge unnaturally with the pressure, and eventually, his screaming stopped, as no further air could get into his lungs. Then, the middle of the tree began to split apart, opening like a giant gaping mouth as it lowered pieces of his body into the center. I turned away at that point. That's when I realized I could see red and blue lights flashing somewhere that seemed impossibly far away. Looking to those lights, I made a conscious effort. This was my new mission in life, to crawl towards them. I don't know how far I got. I don't remember anything other than focusing on those lights until I lost consciousness. When I woke up, I was in a white, clean hospital bed. Although, I only had a stump of a left leg and burn gauze covering a significant portion of my lower body. I was at least alive and pain-free. The strange part was that no one ever asked me what happened. Instead, they told me a loose electrical wire had started a fire. A fire which compromised the tree's integrity, that in turn caused branches to fall. And sadly, my friends were standing too close. They didn't make it. Anything I questioned or asked was written off as, because I was high, I hallucinated. If you're wondering about the tree, it survived. It still stands in the center of the town park, though now it has charred patches and missing a few limbs. It remains as silent and unmoved as ever. If you're curious about me, I never left the town. I wanted to keep an eye on that tree, so that's exactly what I do. Nowadays I'm old. Being old means I look like your typical creep who feeds on pigeons and sneers at passerbys. A new barrier was placed all around the tree, and signs now state very clearly that this tree is sacred and that being within 20 feet of it is frowned upon. I, however, sit on the branch directly under the tree. Besides the barrier, is always spreading bird seed from a brown paper bag for the birds brave enough to come under the shade of the tree. My being there definitely does more to keep people away than this barrier ever will. No one wants to come near old Pigeon Richard. The tree and I have come to some sort of truce, I believe. So I sit and prattle away with it, with a lighter in my pocket, as I wait for the day it gathers the courage to try dropping another branch on me. Ha 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 ha!